Our next guest on Downtown is the author and illustrator of picture books This Is It and I Got Next, the illustrator of Gloria Takes a Stand, and she is the author and illustrator of a brand new book entitled America My Love, America My Heart. We are pleased to be joined this afternoon by Daria Peoples Riley. What an absolutely beautiful and powerful book you've created.
Thank you.
I look at this from a couple of perspectives. So first, as a dad, I've got a seven-year-old at home, but I'm also a teacher, a high school teacher. And I love the fact, first of all, that this challenges young readers and perhaps their assumptions about the world.
Yes, absolutely. Readers of all ages, probably.
Well, there's no question about that. And again, everything about this book is just so wonderful. And what seems so simple, well, that's often the most effective way of reaching people. In your experience, and I guess this is why the book, I think, is so important, are hate and prejudice learned behaviors?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. You know, I think that it's something that is learn from society, community. It could be homes as well, but I think it's definitely not the way that children come. I think that there's a lot of things that we can do to prevent those types of things from happening, but I do think that it's learned, and I think that we have to be proactive in order and preventative in order for those things not to happen.
You yourself speak from experience as the product of a very rich culture. How did that influence you?
Oh, absolutely. This book was really birthed out of the experience of my first traumatic experience with racism. When I was 6 years old, I was called the N-word. And I had to renegotiate the world after that. Everything changed. Everything shifted. It contradicted what I was taught, what I believed to think or know about society. And I also knew that I came from a home that loved me and that embraced who we were. And so those contradictory messages was something I had to reconcile at a very, very young age.
Well, and one of the great messages of the book is that you shouldn't have to change to be accepted and to be liked by others. They're the ones that need to change.
Absolutely. But that's completely opposite of the messaging and the narrative of schools, of education, of curriculum. And so that's why I thought it was so important to begin to adopt that mentality, or for children to hold adults and caregivers and school communities accountable for that truth.
Well, of course, you know about this from several different perspectives. First of all, you're the daughter of a children's librarian. That certainly had to have a big influence.
Well, the daughter of two school teachers, for sure. I ended up in the library because my mom found out that I wasn't I love to explore the library and look at pictures. Go figure, picture book. But I didn't really like to read a whole lot. So she thought it was a great idea at 9 years old for me to go and volunteer at a library during the summer. So that's how I ended up in library. Well, that's what you get when you have a mom for a teacher.
Well, we also have your mom to thank for rescuing your first self-portrait, or this career may not have happened.
That is very true. That is very true. I didn't really believe that. I don't know. I didn't know what being an artist looked like. And I think that representation is so important in the lives of children, because it's very difficult to become what you don't see or believe in that. Yeah, for sure.
We're talking with Daria Peoples Riley about her book, America, My Love, America, My Heart. I love this section of the book. Do you love me when I raise my hand, my head, my voice, when I whisper, when I shout? There's a pretty clear message there about conformity, too. And if you are, as you were and as many children are, that one person in a group of people who don't like you, the expectation is often that you conform and go along and don't call attention to yourself.
That's right. But I really would love for children to do what they're passionate about, to speak out about what they're passionate about. And I would love for the adults who love them in their lives to respond to that and to help them.
And as you write, how long will it take for you to love me from sea to shining sea? Mm-hmm. This is such an important message and at such an important time in our history in America. And I don't know. I come at this from an educational perspective. And 4 or 5 years ago, I could teach that we were making progress as a country, but it feels like we've taken a fairly large step back in the last several years. How do we get back on track?
Well, I think that we have to know each other. And when we know each other, we begin to trust each other. And we begin to trust each other, then we can sit down in communities and in conversation and to learn more about each other. And I think that that's where a lot of the lack of unity is coming from, that we don't have those safe spaces to have uncomfortable conversations, to hold each other accountable for where we are on the spectrum of anti-racism in our country. I think that that takes a lot of dedicated work and intentionality.
And those conversations have to take place at an early age, too, among children of all colors. It's not simply enough to talk to children of color and say, here are the challenges that you'll face in life. But we need to have those conversations with little white kids as well. And what should that conversation begin with? How do you start to have that talk?
Yeah, well, I agree with that wholeheartedly, because I don't think that a lot of white families have conversations around race and bias and discrimination with their children. I think that children of color have to have those conversations with their families, because they're coming from families that want to prepare them for what may happen. And so I think that to begin having those conversations, a wonderful place to start is with books and with children's books. And there are a number of stories that can diversify your shelves and invite a lot of different perspectives into your home in a way that you can interact with them and have conversations around the dinner table in the morning to make it a normal part of your lifestyle.
You were a teacher for a number of years. What can we do better in the world of education?
Oh, I think we need to listen to our children. I think our children are ready to have these conversations. They want to have these conversations. I think we definitely need to pay more attention to what our children need in schools. I also think that it's our responsibility to protect the experiences of children when it comes to racial trauma, and to have different things in place when it does happen, and how to confront it, how to deal with it in ways that bring healing.
How important is it, too, for us to celebrate everyone's culture and background and ancestry? And I don't know, when I hear people talk about America First, I get very nervous, because I know what that's about. But I want to get to a place where we can say, hey, we all come from different places, and this is what makes us unique. And that's what hopefully will eventually make us the great country we aspire to be.
Well, and I think that with every generation, that becomes a little bit more endangered. And I really feel as though it does take the responsibility of individual families to reclaim and revitalize their culture within. A lot of times it's happening within the home, but it doesn't happen outside of the home. And so I think that that might be more of a role also for schools, that they can invite those opportunities into their schools so that it's normalized. It's not a special day or a special week, but it's normalized. I think that what we are experiencing is America in an identity crisis, because and what is being overlooked is the fact that our cultures, our diversity of cultures and language and tradition is what makes us America. So we're definitely missing that link.
I love the way you frame the book with the Pledge of Allegiance, because I think Often in schools, starting at an early age, that becomes a somewhat mindless exercise of just repeating verbatim what you've learned. But I think this calls those words to our attention and makes us think about phrases like liberty and justice for all.
Right. We say those every single day from the time we start kindergarten. We say those words. And I remember the very first time when what those words meant, because it had been faced with contradiction, and nobody ever talked about that. So, yeah, definitely.
Well, it's really a wonderful book. I look forward to reading it with my son and then hopefully having a conversation after we read it. Daria, thank you so much for the wonderful work and for spending some time with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.